20. Working on the Moon, Jean Farmer and Dora Jane Hamblin. Technically, the most difficult task I performed on the surface was driving those core samplers into the ground to get little tubes of lunar material for study. There was a significant and surprising resistance just a few inches down. But this resistance was not accompanied by a strong supporting force on the sides. What this meant, quite simply, was that I had to hold on to the top of the core tube extension while I was hitting it with the hammer to drive it down into the ground. I actually missed once or twice. It wasn't a question of visibility. In bringing the hammer down, I tended to disturb my own body position and my balance. One explanation of the strange degree of resistance may be that, having already been compressed by the lack of atmosphere, the surface has been continually pounded by meteorites. This pounding probably has compacted that lower material much further, to a point where additional compacting, like that of forcing a cutting tool and tube through it, requires significant applications of force. And, like Armstrong, Aldrin also had noticed a peculiar smell when he returned to Eagle and removed his helmet in the repressurized cabin. Odor is very subjective, but to me there was a distinct smell to the lunar material, pungent, like gunpowder or spent cap pistol caps. We carted a fair amount of lunar dust back inside the vehicle with us, either on our suits and boots or on the conveyor system we used to get boxes and equipment back inside. We did notice the odor right away. 118 hours and 50 minutes into the flight, nearly 7:30 in the morning, 21st of July, Houston time. All systems normal. Mike Collins sleeping soundly in Columbia. Neil Armstrong sleeping fitfully, perhaps not at all. Aldrin had the better sleeping position, lying on Eagle's floor. Armstrong had rigged up a strap round a vertical bar so that it formed a hammock for his feet. Then he found that the Earth was peering at him through the telescope. The telescope was in such a position that it had the Earth in its field of view, and it was like a big blue eyeball staring right at him. In weightlessness, it had been calculated, a man could sleep just as well standing up, but it did not quite work out that way. The natural way to sleep, on the moon as on the earth, was lying down. And there was another problem which Buzz Aldrin described. The thing which really kept us awake was the temperature. It was very chilly in there. After about 3 hours, it became unbearable. We had the liquid cooling system in operation in our suits, of course. We tried to get comfortable by turning the water circulation down to minimum. That didn't help much. We turned the temperature control on our oxygen system up to maximum. That didn't have much effect either. We could have raised the window shades and let the light in to warm us, but that would have destroyed any remaining possibility of sleeping. The light was sometimes annoying because when it struck our helmets from a side angle, it would enter the faceplate and make a glare which reflected all over it. Then, when we entered a shadow, we would see reflections of our own faces in front of the helmet, and they obscured anything else that was to be seen.
Kimmy,